Now, she's one of the world's highest paid female athletes, a four-time Grand Slam champion at just 23. And now Naomi Osaka's decision to pull out of this year's French Open could go down as a major moment in the relationship between elite-level athletes, the media and big money events. Let's talk now to Dr. Robert Butler from the Centre for Sports Economics at UCC. A very good afternoon to you, Robert, and thanks for joining us from our Cork studio this afternoon. It really dropped like a bombshell, I think, on the sports world, on the French Open at Roland Garros. And maybe what people don't understand is that these media appearances are very much part of the athletes, effectively their contract, isn't that right?
Good afternoon, Brian. You've summed it up quite well there. I think fundamentally here, the issue is you have somebody that's suffering from anxiety and depression in the workplace. And often when we talk and think about these sports stars and athletes across various different sports, be they individual sports or team sports, we think of them as being something different or extraordinary, whereas in fact they're very ordinary people that just have extraordinary talent. And the pressure that modern sport now brings to bear on very ordinary people, and as you mentioned, Naomi Osaka is only 23. When you think of a typical 23-year-old in Ireland, for example, somebody's maybe just finished college, the expectations that will be placed on them. So I think it brings into question just exactly what sport has become. It's much more than just the playing of tennis in Roland Garros. It's a whole variety of other things that extend onto that now. And as you mentioned, the engagement with the media being such an important one now.
I mean, when she first said that she wasn't going to take part in these press conferences, spoke about the stress which they placed on her. The reaction of the French Open authorities wasn't it to fine her? That was move number one.
Yeah, and I think that was ill-judged, and I think that was the kind of standard rule that has in place. And I think it now begs the question of whether the rules are appropriate around interviewing, particularly after somebody has been defeated. Now, in the case of this athlete, they had won their match. But, you know, if somebody has just been defeated and now has to go in front of the media, and because tennis is not like a team sport where the players are essentially self-employed, it's not like it's a manager going out to speak about a defeat. So these can be very emotional. It can be very stressful situations. And I think they made a mistake doing that. I think they really need to consider the manner in which these interviews are going to be conducted in future. Obviously, you are stuck in the dilemma that the prize money at an event like the French Open is enormous. It's more than 34 million euros this year. I mean, even getting to, say, the last 32 will earn you in excess of 100,000 euros. And that's because broadcasters and sponsors are prepared to invest heavily in tennis. So the main sponsor is prepared to invest more than 30 million euros this year in tennis, and they expect then to get something in return, and that something in return is the logo behind the athlete when they're talking.
And is that why they're so important? Because what the product they buy, if I can use the phrase, is the match, is the tournament, is the event. That's what people primarily tune in to see. And so why are these news conferences so important, and why have we seen this very strong line taken by the organisers of the French Open?
Sure. It's a platform for the sponsors to really get exposure, to really be in the limelight as the person is speaking. And I think it begs the bigger question now about what these athletes have become. And it was no surprise to see many top athletes have come in out in support of Naomi Osaka, mm-hmm. because they understand what it's like to live like this. We can't understand what this pressure must be like, and they understand what it's like to effectively become a commodity to the sport, and to be used by organisers of these competitions to showcase the sport or showcase the tournament. And I think it may be a line in the sand where they really have to sit down and think, well, can we now expect this of the competitors when fundamentally they are there to play tennis?
Yeah. And I suppose the other aspect of this, Robert, is that the athletes themselves, they don't need conventional media news conferences to communicate with their fans. That social media is there, and they can speak directly to the people who want to hear what they have to say.
Yes, and that's something many of them are much more comfortable doing. And I think that demonstrates the evolution of how how athletes can now connect with their fans and supporters. And that's something that's only happened over the last 10 to 12 years, whereas the rules regarding press conferences probably haven't changed for a generation or longer. And I think that's something that now really needs to be considered, because the last thing we want to do is to see this happen again, for somebody else to have to go through this terrible process, and to be talking about not the tennis, but actually something that happened as a consequence of somebody suffering from anxiety and depression.
Very good. Robert Butler in Cork, thanks very much for that.